Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. And anything about to touch the football, they get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. One, two, three.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to The Call. It's where we talk everything and anything about Baltimore Ravens football. It's a podcast about your Super Bowl champions. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to The Call. Make sure you're social. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Tell a friend that they can listen as well on iTunes, Stitcher, and at thecall.brandocash.com. And this wouldn't be The Call if I wasn't joined by my good buddy Josh. What's going on, dude?
Hey, Brandon, I like that intro. Nice change up.
Whoever thought of that, man? He's a really smart guy. He's a good, got a good radio mind.
We gotta hook
him
up with a job.
All right, man. Well, let's jump right into it, man. We're still in preseason. We got two more games left. Let's talk about last week's preseason. And before we get into talking about the plays, who the playmakers were, who we liked, who we didn't like, both of us were in attendance live at Baltimore Ravens stadium down there at M&T Bank. And I gotta say, I don't know how your experience was. I had a good experience, but I was happy with the crowd. I thought it was going to be a little bit more crowded, but again, we got to remember it is still preseason. But that place was pretty packed.
Do you remember the prediction we were trying to? You remember you asked about the crowd the last show, and
right.
I said 25,000 a show for practice. What do you think? I actually noted down my notes the attendance. I'm going to ask you. Do you recall? I don't know how long you stayed. Obviously, I stayed to the end. But do you recall they announced the attendance? Do you know what the attendance was? Do you remember, or you want to take a guess?
I want to say it was around 70,000.
It was 70,527. You're 527 off. Good job. Good prediction. The price was just about right on that one. Paid attendance, whether they stayed the whole time or half the time or three quarters of the time. 70,527 of us paid attendance showed up. That's saying something. That we want our Ravens football. I don't care if it's practice. Don't care if it's preseason. Who cares? Everybody enjoyed me. I dressed up full garb. Everybody was loving it. I told the attendant in lot H, I told him, I was like, preseason or off season, it don't matter because it's football season and I'm ready to rock. And he's like, I love your enthusiasm. I was like, we need more of it around here.
Yeah, I'm just happy, man. Yeah, the other thing that I really want to talk about, too, is all these renovations and these upgrades they did to Ravens
awesome,
Stadium.
Man. Did you check that out?
Oh, man, where right when you come in at Johnny Unitas' statue, they've got this giant screen where if I don't know about you, I'm kind of thinking about doing this, but when there's a game going on at the stadium and I don't have tickets to that game, I might just go set up a lawn chair next to Johnny Unitas and watch it on the screen there.
There you go. If anything happens, we need a miracle. Just rub Johnny's foot.
But, man, they did some great renovations. The first level looks amazing, but I absolutely love the brick layout that they did because they wanted to make it look a little bit more like Camden Yards. So, I mean, everything in that first level, it looks like you're in Camden Yards, but you got purple lights and you got purple stands and everything else, but I loved it.
I loved it, too, man. It just goes to show you some fans were pointing it out, and my whole thing about it was this is what happens when you win a Super Bowl. You get to spend money and upgrade your stuff. So I was loving that. So, hey, it's splurging a little bit. We got the rings. We got the hardware. Why not splurge and make our stadium another upgrade and one of the best venues in the NFL, if not the best. Everybody raves about Camden Yards and how beautiful it is and how much it's underappreciated. Well, M&T, you know, I hear it's, you know, obviously was voted one of the hardest places to play for opponents because it's so loud and we have the game day experience. I mean, it's a great stadium. I love it. Can't say enough about it. So even before we get into the game, I was loving the video boards, the murals with the players. And even, I don't know if you noticed it, Brandon, but all the lower levels are laid with that purple LED lights around the band, the pillars, I don't want to say bands, the pillars of the stadium, and that just creates the whole aspect, and it just, I even walked out of that stadium, and you know what I said? You know what I said?
What's that?
I said, this is one sexy stadium. Yeah. It is, man. I mean, that purple hue, there's nothing like being at Ravens Walk. We had the best experience, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I went with a Philly fan, and I even said, do they have that up there in Philly? He goes, not even close. He goes, this thing is just, you got to do it right. And we're proud of that.
Well, let me tell you about, you say you went up there with a Phillies fan. Let me tell you about the person I had go to this game. You might yell at me, okay, for this.
Don't tell me you're a Steelers fan.
I had this chick come with me and...
excuse me. How'd that go?
She is a Steelers fan. Okay.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. You're breaking my heart, boy.
Well, listen. I got these tickets. They were good seats.
She better have been good looking.
Of course. I only party with the best. But, you know, she showed up, though, and she's not one of these Steelers fans that's going to wear a Roethlisberger jersey at the stadium. She actually went out and she bought herself a purple shirt to wear because she knew how big of a Ravens fan I am. And this, I found out when we were in there, was her first ever football game live in a stadium. So after all of these renovations, after the fireworks and after the crowd going off and everything, I want to say that, you know, I was able to wean her off of that Steelers thinking, and she may actually be thinking more of like a Ravens fan now because she had such a good time at the game.
Wow.
So
do we have a convert now?
That's what I'm hoping that we're gonna have is a nice convert, and hopefully she's listening to the call right now because she wants to learn about, you know, all the players that she's got to learn the names of now. And you know,
well, shout out to the females who are going to be converts, but hey, hey, we welcome all, any and all Ravens fans, and if we can get them to wean off of that purple, or get on the purple and black and get off the black and whatever that mustard color is out there, I'd be more than happy to hear that. Again, that's a good experience, and it shows you well that, number one, she respected that and didn't really, you know, try to provoke, because I told you I was going to get on a rant. Here we go, bring up the Steelers rant. This weekend, I was sporting my Ray Lewis jersey, you know, fired up, and twice... In one day, twice, in one morning, it was Sunday morning, I got heckled twice by Steelers fans, and one day a guy opened his mouth and said, why are you wearing that murderer jersey? Man, I tell you what, I said, it's just nothing irks me even more. Like, why? Like, why do you have to go there? So, obviously, I got heated and posted a few things, and I apologize for that, but I get really mad, because it's just, like, really, like, lay that to rest. I mean, you talk about your, you know, six rings, and your... Oh, murder! I'm like, I'm tired of it. Every time we lose murder, well, you got a rapist as quarterback, so we're touche. You know, we're going to go there. I mean, you know, I just am sick of it. Where, and then you get the whole, we got six rings. Well, yet the fans weren't even alive when they won the first four, so they couldn't tell you how they got those. And I don't know if you saw this. Believe it or not, Brian, I did some heavy digging. I researched this. I actually looked up the Baltimore Colts history, and they actually have, right on the Baltimore Colts, like, Wikipedia thing, we have four NFL championships. So I said on my Twitter, if you add four plus R to it, six, so we're equal with Pittsburgh, and if you count Indianapolis, the Super Bowl, that's seven, because obviously I still think that the Colts and the Ravens are connected. So technically we have one more than Pittsburgh, so you can make your argument. So just a few for thought there about some arguments and get you some ammunition there. But again, there's my rant. But I'm sick of Steelers fans. But that's great. It's great that you have a friend and she was respectful enough to wear purple. And it's good that she experienced that, because a lot of fans who come in our stadium and they're blown away by, you're right, the fireworks, the national anthem, the passion we have. I mean, we showed up full force for a preseason game, tailgating hardcore. I love it. I mean, it just goes to show you the passion we have. We even talk the game itself, and we're just fixated on the stadium and the crowd experience. This is how great it is.
Yeah, you know, the Ravens, there, it's more than just the game with the Ravens. There, it's an all-encompassing experience. So we've covered the stadium, we've covered the fans. Let's actually get down in the nitty-gritty here, and let's talk about the actual preseason game. It was great to see the Ravens back at M&T Bank on the field live. I love seeing it, but let's talk a little bit about our first-string guys. The Ravens came out with a win this past week, but it didn't really have any help from the first stringers. It seemed like the offense and the defense were really struggling against Atlanta. What did you think?
I think so. There was a collaborative effort, obviously, that, you know, the summary that came back and won, but we'll touch on that in a minute. But the first team offense looked atrocious. I'm concerned right now heading into week three of preseason. I hope they get it right. The whole thing is timing. They're putting these little bits and pieces in the offense. We took away, now we're putting in these new pieces, and right now it's rusty. Flacco was off on his timing. Shanko was open twice and missed him. overthrew him. Well, the penalty would have been called back regardless, but still he overthrew him. I even joked. I said, at one point in time in the first half, I said, you take away Torrey Smith's touchdown. I want to know how many yards of offense this team had. It was probably less than 100 yards, but on that play, it was a little, you know, in route to Torrey Smith. He beat the secondary and foot raced to the end zone. That was an incredible play. It was actually, I saw it from where I was sitting because the play came towards me. I saw the way we were lined up. I actually seen that play before where I was like, dude, if they just do a little in route or a slant, quick slant, it's at least 20 yards or more because the way the defense was playing, they were shifting and it was just wide open. So at least the Ravens saw that part in the offense, but the running game never got going. I mean, Flacco wasn't really hurried, what I could tell. Obviously, you see things different live than you do on TV. So I actually got the chance to actually watch the replay on TV. So I actually saw both views. And I have a lot more talk about on that. But that's my thumbprint on the offense. Second, third string, I'll play the first string. That's not good. That's my input and putting my thumb down on the offense there.
Yeah, that's something I'm really worried about. Now, we know we lost Dennis Pitta, and that was a huge loss. But by this point right now, I mean, you're in the third week of preseason coming up. You need to get your stuff together. I mean, that was the second game. But what you're supposed to do in that first game is see what's working, see what's not, and fix it. It didn't look like these guys really fixed it. It seems as if they took the week off almost, and they actually got a little bit worse. Now, I mean, Flacco is going to have a giant magnifying glass on him this time around, and he always has. Don't get me wrong there. Magnifying glass has gotten bigger since his salary got so much bigger this offseason. So a lot of people are going to be going after him. Now, the one pass that I remember, it was a short pass to Vicente Shenko, and I mean, both those guys, they are not on the same page. I mean, yes, he's new to this team, and he's got to learn the system and everything, and they got to gel a little bit more, but it does not look like Joe Flacco really has confidence in the people he's playing with right now. And I don't know what the fix is here. I think that in this third game, maybe we're going to see the lines kind of shuffled up a little bit. Maybe we're going to see some new faces on that first line.
I think so. I think maybe a shakeup in order. Maybe some of the players that stepped up, like Aaron Millett, who played a great game. Maybe these guys will be put in on first string, and they're making a case to start. Laquan Williams in game number one, Aaron Millett in game number two. I like to see a guy step up, but it seems like the guys that are stepping up are the guys that are playing in quote-unquote garbage time. The guys who are trying to make the team, and our starters aren't really making any noise other than the Torrey Smith touchdown, Bernard Pierce touchdown in game one. I haven't seen it. Flacco's been okay at the best. I mean, the one pick, it was batted up in the air. He can't really help that. I'm going to discount that because it was, I mean, he threw in triple coverage. Again, I'm not in the field. I'm not a quarterback. I don't know what he saw, but it wasn't there. It looked like he just tried to force the ball in there and then just it just bounced the wrong way. So, I mean, you can pick the game any way you like. But again, the offense was atrocious. Obviously, and we can say it time and time again, but the defense, I think the defense, again, lived up to the billing and played absolutely well. One thing I have to say is Jimmy Smith needs to turn around. Julio Jones just scolded.
Yeah, that was a big thing, and it looked like Jimmy Smith, he was going to be the guy that was going to get picked on all game. I remember last season, there was a lot of times where I was like, look what they're going to do. They're going to look at Kerry Williams. Whoever Kerry Williams is covering, that is who they're going to throw to because they know that any quarterback in the NFL knows that Kerry Williams is going to be the guy that they can pick on because he's just not as quick or whatever. So Jimmy Smith, that he seemed to be the Kerry Williams for this game. I'm very interested to see what happens next game, this week coming up, because word on the street is that Lardarius Webb will be taking the field for the first time this preseason. So I want to see what's going to happen with him in the field for the first time since what, last October?
I can't wait to see him on the field, and maybe that'll be a difference in the secondary, hopefully to boost. Speaking of the secondary, I did see this in the game. Obviously, I mean, I watched every play, but I didn't see the technique of the tackle, but when I watched it on the replay on TV on NFL Network, I tell you what, Matt Elam can tackle. Steven Jackson just squared up. Matt Elam just wrapped him by the shoulders and just threw him down. That is how you tackle in the NFL. I noticed a few missed tackles in the secondary can't happen. There was one where they would have had a loss on the screen pass, and I think it was like maybe the fullback or running back, might have even been Rodgers, and he just thinking took off and had like a nice 15-yard gain just because it was a missed ankle tackle. He took the wrong angle and dove and missed. I just, again, that's one of my knocks on defense, but speaking of the pass rush, bouncing around a little bit here, the pass rush is going to be nasty. Denverville was, again, disruptive. So the first team is fine on the line. The line, not worried about it. How about Arthur Brown, the addition from Penn State? He read the gap perfectly and tackled for a 3 or 4 yard loss. I was so pleased to see how he read that defense. And I'm hoping he starts, because that's the instinct we need to see back in Baltimore. We need to see that on the defensive side, because obviously Ray Lewis not there anymore. That's the old thing that Ray used to do, to read the holes, read the gaps, go back there and sniff it out. And R. Brown did a great job.
He absolutely did. And it seems like this is going to be like the Ravens of old. Leading up to this preseason, it really looked like this team was going to be led by the offense. This was going to be a team where we spent most of the show talking about the offense, unlike, you know, back in the day, which is where the Baltimore Ravens, you know, everybody talked about the defense. The defense was so destructive. The defense won the Super Bowl for us the first time around. So it seems like we're getting back to a team where it's going to be it was not scheduled to be like this, but at the same time, defense is going to be huge for these Ravens. Absolutely huge. I mean, just some of the guys you just mentioned. I mean, Dumervil is what an addition to this team. And you can even see in just two preseason games, guys had a huge impact on this defense. And he might be the next guy I get a jersey from, since they just switched him up again earlier this year, because I love what I've seen from him already.
Right, absolutely. And I couldn't agree with you more on that point. It is a collaborative team effort. I want to see all three phases work. I mean, we've already touched on the offense. We touched on the defense. Special teams is mediocre at best. They had almost a couple near block punts and block kicks. But again, it's the comeback. It's kind of disguised, because obviously it's a win as a team. Tyrod Taylor did okay as a backup, you know, led the offense down there. And we were losing like 23-7 at one point. We came back and won, which was great. And I know A.C. Jackson's going to be suspended, but what a great run back he had. I was pleased to see that against special teams. That's why I said they played well, because they scored a touchdown.
Yeah, hold on real quick. Let's talk about A.C. Jackson here for a minute.
Yeah.
I've been really impressed with what this guy's done in the first two preseasons, but here's the thing that just kind of really annoys me, is I see this guy in the first two preseason games, and he does a great job. You can tell he loves being out there, he loves what he does, and he's good at it. But after he got that touchdown, I'm like, oh man, what a great touchdown, that was great, who was it? A.C. Jackson. And then I just kind of sit back, and I'm like, half the season is gone because of him. Half the season is wasted. Half the season we will not see him, because he got suspended for 8 games. So even though he's having a great preseason, we're not going to see him for eight weeks. And that really, it annoys me, and it ticks me off. And I'm so ticked off that somebody who's so talented like that could screw up that bad twice, you know, twice in 2 years. And he's got all this promise, like, because, you know, he's showing off well right now. So they're not going to cut him or anything like that, because they want him to come into the regular season and do what he did in the preseason. So I don't know. I'm impressed with what he's doing, but at the same time, I'm let down.
I agree, man. It just sucks and unfortunate to see that he's going to be suspended, because he's been playing out of his mind, and he could be that contributor we need on defense, special teams, and maybe that's good that he's making a case now, so the Ravens keep him after the suspension lifts. I think he'd be welcome back to the team. I don't know what the team plans to do with him yet. I haven't heard any inside news or if he's going to be released, but again, it's exciting to see him perform at such a high level, and he's like, hey, you know, yes, I screwed up, but he's showing it in his play. He's not just nailing it in, saying, you know what, yeah, my career's over. He's actually trying to make the case to play like a Raven, and boy, is he playing like it. So you're right, you know, it's just sad to see, you know, such a likely suspension to be coming forth, but again, you know, he's playing at a high level right now, and that's all we can ask.
Yeah, that's all he can do. I understand that. I'm so excited, but then I'm let down, because I'm like, I'm not going to be able to see this guy for 8 weeks, which sucks.
Hey, at least it's not A-Rod. We could be having a big letdown on that.
Yeah, exactly. So, do we cover everything for this first preseason game? Is there anything that we missed?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think so. I think it just, it's pretty basic. It was, you know, no key injuries happened, nothing major. I mean, I know across the NFL there's a lot of things happening, a lot of movement, a lot of people blowing knees out, getting hurt. So you kind of just want to just be careful. And like I said, that was one of the keys of the game, and no major injuries. And, you know, they won the game. And not that it mattered, but it just helped that, you know, they'd just keep winning football games. Even if they were down, the team showed resilience and coming back. So, no, I think, you know, pretty much covers it for the Falcons game. And then we got the Panthers coming to town at 8:00 ESPN on Thursday. Preseason game number 3, so we should see a significant playing time from the starters well into the third quarter. This is it. This is dress rehearsal for good old Denver. I really can't wait to see it because this is what we're going to see. Because obviously the starters ain't going to play that much in week 4 of the preseason. So, again, we get to see the team showcase at M&T Bank. Defense is going to be introduced. It's going to be fiery. ESPN is going to be there. It's another primetime game. Cam Newton. I did say before, going back on the Falcons team, how that offense was going to be a big test for us. Our defense, because of the offensive weapons they had. Steven Jackson was running hard. Jimmy Smith was hard pressed to cover. Malia Jones. It's going to be interesting to see what offense Cam Newton provides, because we're going to face a couple of these quarterbacks as the years come on. And you know, got Cam Newton, Steve Smith, and company, and I'm excited to see what can happen and we can stop the Panthers' offense.
Yeah, this is going to be another big test, and before we really dig really deep into the next preseason game, I do want to bring this up. You know, training camp has been going on the last few weeks, and the Ravens have done some public practices. Yesterday, we're recording this on Monday, August 19th. Yesterday, they actually had their public practice at Stevenson University, and I was lucky enough to actually be one of the photographers on the field during practice. So, you know how you were talking about going to the Hall of Fame and seeing, you know, Ozzie Newsome up close and seeing all of these legends and everything. I got to experience that a little bit yesterday because I was mere inches away from all of these Ravens in full gear. I've seen, you know, that's how we first met, is we met at a Ray Lewis radio show. So we've been close to Ravens before, but I've always seen them up close in, you know, t-shirts, jeans, you know, just regular street clothes. I actually got to see these guys in full pads and take photos of the action. So hopefully Stevenson University, if you go to their Facebook page, they're going to be releasing the photos hopefully today or tomorrow, because I got to, I shot over 700 photos. And luckily enough, about 50 photos I was happy with, and I edited those while I was at work today. And an absolutely amazing experience. I got to be on the sidelines, and you know, I got to watch practice up close. I got to hear what these players were talking about. And I want to tell you a little story real quick about Suggs, man. Suggs is a guy, you can tell he really loves the Ravens and loves this organization, because he still talks about old games that the Ravens have played. And I'm you know, shooting photos, I'm on the sidelines, and he's talking to Webb. And he goes up to me and he's like, man, you know, they got their favorites. Everybody's got their favorites. Look what we did to Ben Roethlisberger. We broke his nose. What happened to us? Nothing. Not even a flag. Somebody gets tackled or whatever on New England, every single flag goes up. So, yeah, they got their favorites. So here he is just gearing up for the season and talking about everybody's favorites. So it seems like even though Ben Roethlisberger is still one of his favorite targets, he loves going after New England. So here's a guy that really wants to get out there. And I got to see these guys up close. I got to really see what a lot of them were doing. You know, there's a lot of Dallas Clark and Brandon Stokely. There's a big magnifying glass on them. There's a lot of coaches working with them. They kind of stayed together since they're the new guys. And I got to see what Tyrod Taylor and Joe Flacco were doing. I got to hear some of their conversations. But this is just like, this is a normal job for these guys. And they love it. And they dance around and they joke. And they take, but once it's time to work, they get very serious. But it was such a great opportunity. It's probably my most favorite thing that I've ever done in my professional career, was to get to be on the field with these guys and take some pictures. So hopefully you'll get to see them soon. But it was just a ton of fun.
Man, Brandon, that's wow, it's incredible. Just, you know, you get to hear the little conversations, and Suggs is a personality himself, and that's just great that you can be a part of that experience, because obviously, you know, Hall of Fame is one thing, but you're on the practice field seeing these guys work and hear the little dialogues they have with each other, and you get to see that, and that's just incredible. And you're right, it's their jobs. They're having fun, they love what they do, you know, get down to business, get serious, but, you know, hopefully it could translate into the game. But, man, what a treat that was for you, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, you know, I've been to Camden Yards. I got to film on the field at Camden Yards earlier this summer for a first pitch, and now I got to go on the practice field with the Ravens when they came to Stevenson University, and that used to be the old Ravens and Colts field. You know, Stevenson bought that area and converted the bubble that used to be at that field and turned it into a stadium for their own football program. So there's a lot of Ravens and Colts history at that field. So I'm very happy to see that Stevenson and the Ravens can kind of work together and continue with that history. And even it's one practice, but the facilities are just so nice. And I think a lot of the Ravens enjoy seeing some of that history and are able to come back and check it all out. So yeah, it was a real treat, and it was a lot of fun to be a part of. But hey man, let's talk about this next preseason game. Like you said, it's this Thursday, and it's up. It's going to be on ESPN at 8:00. We talked about last game and what the offense, how they really didn't show up. So, for me, I think what we're going to see is a lot of different people up in that first line, like I said before. Is there anything that you're specifically looking for this offense to do in this next game?
I'm looking for them to execute. I don't care how many points they scored, just execute. I like to see a touchdown, at least. It just comes down to let's see what pieces can help, what pieces can't. If the line can hold up, I didn't really see any significant playing time from Dallas Clark or Brandon Stickler, but maybe they'll be used a lot more in the offensive game plan on 13. I like to see the timing. Can Flacco get it together with Shanko and Dallas Clark and Brandon Stokley, and if it's Williams or Millett, or even, and I like to see, can Tannen Doss please do something quick? If not, he might be cut. I'm just interested to see how the offense can execute the defense. If Lett's playing again, great. I like to see how he does, how his knees are back for him and hold up, if he can be up to the task. I like to see what starting defense might look like, and I like to see a nice dress rehearsal. I like to see 14 between 14 and 20 points by the first offense by halftime. Like to be ahead. I like the defense getting like a nice turnover. Stop Cam Newton. It's not going to be perfect. It's not. But and I don't ask the Ravens to be dominant in this game, but all I ask is a good effort, because you know, covering the team and as a fan, you don't want to be going, oh no, they look shaky and we got Denver, but Denver's got their own problems, and we'll get into that a little bit later on. Again, you know, if the pieces can just do their jobs and they all fit well and we can see them gel together, we might be in for a treat. I think this offense is going to be okay. Everybody's screaming and crying, wolf, oh my God, they let Bowling go, and oh yeah, we don't, come on, we're going to be fine. We're going to score points. Joe Flacco's got this offense, obviously. Everybody's like, well, he's not performing like an MVP right now. It's preseason, man. He's going to be rusty. They just took half his weapons. I mean, Bolden's gone. Pitt is gone. Dixon was hurt. You plug in the reinforcements, let's see you go out and do it. I mean, Brady's got to do it, and Brady don't even have any of his weapons. I mean, he's got new weapons. Everybody's got, you know, you can even look at Seattle. Seattle, their receiving core is diminished. So it's just everybody's got their issues. But if we just keep it at home, Flacco's got more than capable guys to catch and run with the football, and I'm pretty excited to see how it's going to happen.
Yeah, Flacco, he's got to work with these wide receivers and these tight ends. That's my big concern. I know Ray Rice can run, and I know Vontae Leach can block for him. I'm not worried at all right there.
Really? I'm just kidding. Really?
I know what they can do. I know what Bryant McKinney can do when he's at the correct weight and everything like that. I am concerned about what's going to go on with Visante Shanko. I am concerned about what will happen with Dallas Clark and Brandon Stokley, and I'm very concerned about what else is going to happen with a lot of these younger guys. Tannen Doss, he's not making the waves that everyone was hoping he would. From what I heard, at least, it was when Anquan Boldin left, it was Tannen Doss is going to be the one that's going to kind of, you know, pick up the torch and kind of run with it. And I mean, I don't know if he's running with it the way he's supposed to be, because it seems like he's stumbling a lot. There was a big play in the last preseason game where he had the ball and it was a drop pass and it was almost a fumble, you know, from him. So Tannen Doss, this is going to be it for him. I think this third game really is going to be make or break for this guy. He may not make it up to the regular season
after
this game.
He might not make it. Yeah.
So he's going to be a big question mark. But really, this has got to be Joe's show, and he really has to – I mean, that's why he gets paid the big bucks and everything. He's got to gel with these guys, and they have to gel with him. I don't want to put everything on Flacco. He's one guy, and this is a big team. But it's really got to be how he gels with all these new players, and this is really going to be the big spotlight. This is going to be it. This third game is where him and the other guys, they're going to have nothing before regular season after Thursday.
That's right, and that's why it's exciting to see it, because this is it. This is what you're going to see for in a couple of weeks long until we have September 5th when Thursday Night Football. NFL is coming. The regular season is coming, and these guys need to get ready. And it's going to come quick. And you got two preseason games left, and you got the regular season. I'm excited. I'm excited as anybody to see this team perform well, see these new pieces work in our favor. But again, you know, let's just keep it to Thursday night and see how it happens. And again, you know, I can't wait to be there and experience it again. And again, let's hopefully win a win, no key injuries, and let's all the first teamers, you know, wish them luck, and let's see them execute. If the execution's there, this team can go places and they can win the North. And speaking about winning the North, a lot of so-called media experts, they're not even picking the Ravens at all. They're picking the Bengals, the Winters. It's just a lot of disrespect. And even Flacco was on the radio being interviewed about him. Like, he's like, you know, he's right. He goes, when haven't people picked the Ravens? Like, you know, people, nobody's ever picked them at all. Even the whole playoff run. Oh, they're going to lose to Denver. The whole country thought we're going to lose to Denver. Oh, New England's going to wax them. We wax them. Ah, the Kaepernick-led Niners are going to win the Super Bowl. That didn't happen either. It's just like the Ravens have always been about bucking trends, about not listening to what people's opinions say, and they go out and do their business, play like Ravens and play like champions they are.
Yeah, you know,
that's why I'm just excited about it.
Yeah, the Bengals, I will say this real quick. The Bengals are definitely going to be a team to watch. I don't know if you've been watching Hard Knocks on HBO, but I've been very impressed with this team so far. So seeing some of this, you know, behind the curtain type of stuff on Hard Knocks is always fun. But the Bengals look very impressive this year. It's going to be tough for the Ravens. I completely believe the Ravens will be able to come out on top. But this one's going to be rough. They're going to have a tough time. And they're in a very tough division, and they're used to it. But this one's going to be big. This year is going to be a lot of challenges.
It's going to be a lot of challenges, and I can't wait to see it unfold for us. And, you know, any given Sunday, any team can beat you, so you have to be prepared. We've seen that in the past.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's jump and talk.
Perform well.
Yeah.
I mean, remember, Jacksonville Jaguars beat us on Monday Night Football. The win list. Dolphins that one year when they went 1-15, we were their only win. I mean, it's happened. Any team can bite you at any time. They sneak up on you. They're all NFL players. They all get paid. I wouldn't say they'll get paid the same, but they're all professionals for a reason.
Absolutely.
And they're fast, they're big, and they hit hard. And if we don't show up, we're going to get beat. We don't put forth our fast effort. So, yeah, that's what it's going to come down to.
Yeah, so let's talk about the defense real quick before we get out of here in this next preseason game. The only thing I'm looking for Suggs and Elvis Dumervil to not get hurt in any way, and I want to see what Ladarius Webb brings to the table this time around.
I agree. Doom and Gloom are going to do their job. Can't wait to see them perform. They've been great this preseason. I mean, if any two players need to be singled out for them, they're leading by example. Suggs is the leader on defense, pumping up the team on this pregame speech. Got me fired up. I'm loving it. And he's going to be the unsung hero, the general, so to speak, on defense. Flacco's going to be the general on offense in the face of the team. Him and Suggs can carry. You know, it's the 5-5-5 plan. You got Flacco and Suggs. So that's what it's going to be. And, you know, the 5-5 threat is going to happen. And, again, Thursday night, looms large, Cam Newton and company in the town. And I can't wait to see what the Panthers can bring at us and see if we can stop them. We can perform at a high level and bring on the dress rehearsal.
Absolutely. So this is going to be a test. Hopefully we're here talking next week and we're talking about how the offense really looks like they're in tune and they're in check and they got a rhythm and they know what they're doing. And hopefully we're back and saying, wow, how did we ever play without Webb on this team? He's doing so well. So we'll see what happens next week. But as far as this show goes, man, did we miss anything?
not a chance, sir.
Not a chance. That's right. Now, of course, this is the part of the show where a lot of people usually stop listening to me. But, hey, we got to cover this stuff because we need you guys to help us out so we can continue to do this show. Now, if you're a Ravens fan, and of course you are if you're listening to this show, you need to tell other Ravens fans about The Call, The Call podcast. It's a podcast. It's on-demand radio. You can listen to it whenever you want. Let a friend know by just texting them or calling them on the phone. Make sure you're social on social media with it. Make sure you go onto Facebook, onto Tumblr, onto Twitter, onto Pinterest, onto Vine, anything you can think of that you are social with somebody on the web, let them know that you listen to The Call and that they should listen as well. Now, there's plenty of ways to listen, and let them know that no matter what kind of device you have, if it's an iPhone or an Android, if it's a Kindle Fire, if it's an iPad, an iPod, anything like that, the show is somewhere for you to listen. Now, of course, on most iOS devices, iTunes is the place to go. So you can go into iTunes, you can search The Call on the iTunes store, you can click subscribe, and you can also leave an iTunes review. We have a few reviews out there, which I'm very happy to say it's happy listeners. Thank you very much for leaving those comments for us. Let everybody know on iTunes that you kind of dig the show. But if you click subscribe, whenever a new show comes out, it will get downloaded automatically straight into your iTunes. And if you do have an iPad, iPod, iPhone, there is the podcast app. You download the app completely for free. You search The Call in the app. You click subscribe, and then it gets downloaded straight to your phone. You don't even have to hook up your phone to your computer anymore. How cool is that? If you are on iOS and you want to choose a different app, and if you're on an Android or a Kindle Fire or anything like that, you can go to Stitcher Radio. Go to the Google Play Store, wherever you download apps, look up Stitcher, download that completely for free, and then you search The Call, make it one of your favorite stations, and then whenever a new episode comes out, it gets streamed straight to your device through Stitcher. Listen to the show whenever you want, wherever, at the gym, cutting the grass, in the car, at the office, doesn't matter. The show is there for you to hear. If you are at your desk job and you're bored and you're getting ready for the game and you want to listen, all you have to do is go to thecall.brandocash.com and listen to the show streaming through your desktop. Just make sure you wear some earphones in case some people are around and, you know, you don't want to disturb others while you're working and get in trouble. We don't want to have that happen to you. So there's plenty of ways for listening to the show. Let people know about it. And if you want to talk football or you want to talk Ravens, there's plenty of ways to reach Josh or I. You can follow me on Twitter at BrandoCash. That's where I'm at, and I'm always tweeting about something, whether it be the Ravens, the Capitals, or all the other podcasts we have on the Brando Cash Network. Now, you can go over to facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. We'll post updates about the show, and we'll give you all kinds of stuff to look out for throughout the week. And go over to facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like the network there. Whenever this show or any of the other shows on the network comes out with a new episode, we'll let you know immediately where you can go download it and where it's available. Now, Josh, he's always tweeting about the Ravens. I don't think there's any time that goes by where he's not talking about the Ravens. So, Josh, where can people follow you on Twitter?
They can follow me at DianeGQ52.
That's right. Now, that's pretty much it for The Call this week. Let's hope for another Ravens win this Thursday on ESPN. But Josh, you know what to do. It's time to say goodbye to everybody. Take us out like you always do.
You got it. You got it. I'm looking forward to the next dress rehearsal, the final dress rehearsal for the regular season. So let's bring on the Panthers down in Baltimore come Thursday night. We'll be there. Can't wait to see you all. It's going to be a great time. We're going to root the Ravens on hard like we always do. Until then, we're going to root the Baltimore Ravens. We're going to fly high.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.